Hi, this is Joe. This is my first podcast. I'll give you a rundown now of my recent trip to Burma. Myanmar is about 2.5 hours from Kuala Lumpur. We flew into Yangon Airport, which used to be known as Rangoon. Now, a little bit of advice here would be not to worry too much about your arrival. If you've got US dollars with you, you're fine. Some people suggest that you change some currency over at the airport, but we found out that that is a government-controlled currency that you then have to change again to the currency that people are using on the street. So basically, don't bother. Just take your US dollars with you and you'll be fine. However, do make sure that you've applied for your visa beforehand, because you won't get in without it. And there are no ATMs in the whole country, so you haven't really got access to cash. Although if you're desperate, some of the hotels will give you cash on a credit card. 4.2 million people, which is about a tenth of Myanmar's whole population, live in the capital city. The nickname for Myanmar is the Golden Land. It's mostly Buddhist, and it was conquered by the British back in the 19th century. Myanmar gained its independence from Britain in 1948, but since 1962, the military's completely controlled the country, and as a result, progress is stifled by strict government controls and pretty serious financial mismanagement as well. We had a couple of days in Yangon, and it's a fairly interesting place, but I can't say I'll return there. As usual, with most major cities, there's a little bit of hustle and bustle and everything else going on. But on the whole, a city's a city. We wanted to travel around a bit, so we needed to take some internal flights. There's two main airways. There's Yangon Airways and Bagan Airways, both of which use small turboprop planes. They seem to be relatively safe, so we didn't have any problem. We jumped on a flight and headed off to Bagan. Now, Bagan is an absolutely fantastic little place. There are thousands and thousands of temples stretched over many miles as far as the eye can see. And other than that, there's very little. A small town where you could get your food and some basic hotels. We spent the day heading off on horse and cart, and that was an experience in itself, just being driven around to different temples. Unfortunately, it seems to be ruined now by tourism, and every temple you go to, there are hundreds of hawkers who do hassle you. Strange really, because there were only a handful of tourists about. A couple of days there was enough, and then we took another internal flight up to Lake Inlay. Lake Inlay is located in the Shan Hills area in Burma, and it's the second largest lake and with an approximate area of about 45 square miles. And it's pretty high in altitude, almost 3,000 feet above sea level. The people who live around the lake, and there's about 70,000 of them, live in four cities in that area. Some villages are actually along the lake side, and many are on the lake itself, which is absolutely fabulous. And you can see villages on stilts, floating villages. It's a real sight, definitely worth seeing. Most of these places are on very thin bamboo stilts. And there's lots of self-sufficient farming going on. During our time there, we saw lots of people growing fruits, vegetables, and even tobacco, all grown on the lake itself, where they take all the weeds, they gather it up, create floating platforms, and then just leave the crops to grow. We also managed to visit a couple of factories which were situated on the lake, where there was silk being made. And as well as this silk, what they often used was lotus thread, where they split lotus reeds up, took a very fine thread out of them, and the cost of that was something like 10 times more than normal silk. Pretty ingenious to watch these people. We managed a 15-minute stopover in Mandalay, so at least we can say we've been there. But then the plane headed straight onto Yangon, where we were picked up by a taxi driver and went off to the coast for a couple of days. The coast was completely shut, so we managed to find a small isolated beach hut for a few dollars a night, where we stayed and thoroughly enjoyed ourselves. Nobody else on the beach, basically completely isolated.